Proverbs 13:22 reads, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children," but it doesn't say how to do it. I am Rob West. Often when parents make out a will, they simply divide their assets equally among their children, including property. But maybe that's asking for trouble. I'll talk about that first today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, one of the most common sentences included in a will is this: "My estate will be divided equally among my children." That's fairly easy to do when the estate consists entirely of financial accounts that can quickly be converted to cash for distribution to heirs. It's quite another thing when the estate contains property, as most do. It immediately forces your heirs, usually your children, to make a difficult decision. Do they continue to hold the property in joint ownership, or do they sell it and divide the proceeds? A third option exists if one or more heirs are willing to buy out the others. Ideally, the heirs will all agree on a fair and equitable settlement. That usually means selling the home and splitting the proceeds. Or the heirs could decide to divide up other assets so that one or more heirs is able to hold on to the property. But far too often, heirs have trouble reaching that kind of agreement. Deciding as a group what to do with property becomes a complicated business. There are serious financial and emotional considerations. Financially, what you think is a blessing may actually become a burden when you factor in maintenance costs, taxes, insurance, homeowners association fees, and other expenses. Who makes decisions about maintenance and hires contractors to perform needed work? Will the heirs divide those expenses equally? What happens if one heir doesn't pay his or her share? Sometimes, depending on location, the property becomes something like a timeshare for the various heirs and their families. But then, who determines the schedule for using the place? Emotionally, inheriting real estate may cause heirs to make unwise decisions based on feelings rather than wise money management. In many cases, the family home becomes a money pit that fosters arguments among surviving children who can't even agree on minor things like what color to paint the living room. Children often have different ideas about what to do with inherited property based on their experiences growing up. Resentments that were hidden for years may boil up to the surface when mom and dad aren't around anymore. That's often made worse when one sibling is made executor of the estate. That person is then in a position to lord it over the others. Or the opposite can happen, with the executor heir taking grief from siblings who all demand different things. Handling the estate becomes a nightmare for them as siblings squabble. So as a side note, consider appointing an outside executor or personal representative for your estate. To avoid these potential problems with leaving a house in joint ownership to your heirs, many experts suggest you handle it like any other asset in your will. Simply stipulate in your will that upon your death, all property will be sold and that the proceeds then are to be divided among your heirs. When you do that, some heirs may decide to take the proceeds of that sale as a part of their share in the estate. Others may want to buy out the others if they want to take on full ownership of the home or vacation property. By the way, you don't always have to divide the proceeds equally among your heirs. In his book, Splitting Heirs, financial teacher and author Ron Blue says that if you love your children equally, you will treat them uniquely in your will. Some may have greater needs than others. Some may not be able to handle money as well as others. In those cases, dividing things equally may not be best for your heirs. But the key to making any of this work is transparency. You should discuss your wishes with your family so that no one is surprised after you go home to the Lord. Everyone needs to understand not only your decisions, but why you made them. By having serious discussions about your estate ahead of time, you can eliminate the potential for infighting and resentment later, especially if you make it known that all real property is to be sold upon your death. That's one less thing your heirs can squabble about. If you need help drawing up a will or changing one, it's important to work with an estate attorney who shares your Christian worldview. You can do that by finding a certified Kingdom advisor. Just go to faithfi.com and click on Find a Professional. That's faithfi.com and click Find a Professional. Well, I hope those suggestions will help you avoid conflict among your heirs and give you peace of mind. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
The book of Numbers contains one of the most unusual stories in all the Bible. A foreign king from Moab paid a prophet by the name of Balaam to come and pronounce curses on Israel. But Balaam couldn't do it because God intervened. Balaam could not curse. He could only bless. Balaam said, "How can I curse those whom God has not cursed? How can I denounce those whom the Lord has not denounced?" And instead he prophesied about the King of Kings who would one day come. He said, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall arise out of Israel." And you'll see Jesus more clearly through daily time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Wall Builders is dedicated to revealing the truth behind America's founding. Here's Tim Barton, president of Wall Builders.
Our goal here at Wall Builders is to present America's forgotten history and heroes, emphasizing the religious, moral, and constitutional heritage and foundation of our nation. Today, so few people recognize what has made this nation really the most successful, prosperous nation in the history of the world. It's a biblical foundation.
Listen to Wall Builders Live, Sunday mornings at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. This is the program where we help you manage God's money, bringing faith and finance together for God's glory. We want to get into those practical decisions you're making on a daily basis, but along the way, bring some encouragement, some hope as well, and take you into the counsel of Scripture. Be theologically sound as we approach with reverency God's Word and its application to every facet of our lives. It's truth. And there's a lot in there around money, money themes and ideas. Jesus talked about it a lot. The apostles talked about money quite a bit. There's a lot in the Old Testament about money as well. And so we can glean those principles and passages, starting with the creation account and recognizing God created and owns everything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything is God's. And so once we surrender our lives to Jesus, it's about stewardship. How do we manage God's resources and our time and our relationships and our talents and, yes, God's Word as well? Well, in this program each day, we want to zero in on financial stewardship and help you be wise and faithful, making wise decisions throughout the course of your life. So whatever's going on in your financial life today, we'd love for you to give us a call. That number to be a part of the program is 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open at the moment, so you can get right through at the moment. 800-525-7000. You can call right now. We're going to head to the phones here in a second. We'll be headed out to Texas and then Michigan. But first, in the news today, federal government employees aren't the only workers facing back-to-the-office orders. Several large companies such as Amazon, Boeing, AT&T, Dell, JP Morgan, even UPS are issuing return to office requirements for at least part of their workforce. But that's not sitting well with many employees. According to a new poll by Pew Research, of those currently working full or part-time at home, nearly half, 46%, say they would probably leave the company if required to come into the office full time. I guess they've gotten used to working at home. 26% say they would be very likely to leave their jobs if forced to go into the office. Asked to put the opportunity to work from home in terms of salary, respondents indicated that not having to go into the office was equal to about an 8% pay raise, interestingly. Excuse me, something we're going to keep an eye on. Clearly, this trend is headed in the direction of returning to full-time work. A lot of companies following suit, and there are still plenty of remote jobs available, but it seems like those are going to be more of the exception in the days ahead. All right, let's take some of your phone calls today. That number again, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. We're going to begin in Texas today. Ben, you'll be first up, sir. Go ahead.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. So I have a 401k that's contributing about 8% to, and my company had just stopped matching their own contribution because they moved over to a new system, which is a pension system, and I think they are doing about 5% of the yearly package is being contributed to the system. And for me, I'm still contributing 8%, which I have just up to 15% this month. So I have a question. Do I need to, I'm thinking, would it be best to roll it over to Roth or to roll to annuity? The amount is not, it's just about $32,000.
Okay, so. Got it. Yeah, so in this conversion to a pension, which, by the way, this is interesting because for several decades, companies have been moving the other direction from pensions to 401ks, putting more of the onus on the employee to decide whether or not to contribute and then matching a certain portion. You know, why would a company go from a 401k to a pension? Well, could be to attract and retain employees. Pensions offer guaranteed benefits and appeals to older or longer term employees. You know, it gives them more control over the contributions and kind of smooths those out over time, as opposed to the unpredictable spikes with employee 401k participation. There's usually some economies of scale, maybe less administrative costs, those types of things. In terms of what you should do, so is it clear to you that they're giving you the ability to roll that 401k out as a part of this transition?
Oh, yes, I have 100% control over the 401k. I can continue to contribute or do or roll it over to whatever fund, you know.
Yeah, so they're going to allow that 401k to continue alongside the pension, but they're just not going to match to the 401k. They're solely going to make the contributions to the pension moving forward. Is that right?
Correct, yes.
Okay, yeah. And have you been happy with the investment performance? I realize you don't have a ton of money in there, but have you been happy with the investment performance of the options you have in the 401k?
Yeah, I think it's been doing well since you know.
Okay. Good.
Because I believe the market has been good for a couple of years now. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. And do you have a Roth 401k option as well with your employer, or only the traditional variety?
I do not have anything other than the 401k.
Okay, because there a lot of companies are offering either a 401k traditional or a 401k Roth, and you get to choose, but it doesn't sound like that's the case here.
Yes, it's 401k traditional.
Okay, got it. Yeah, I would probably consider maybe you start a Roth IRA separate, and you know you could start contributing to that just since there's not any match any longer. You're probably just given the percentage of your income you had committed to put into the 401k. You're probably going to max that out, and if you're married, perhaps you do two Roths, and you and your wife, you know, if you're under 50, you could put in for 2024. You could each put in, you know, a total of $14,000, $7,000 apiece. And as long as you do that before you file your 2024 return, you could turn around and do it again for 2025 with another $7,000 and $7,000. So you could get a total of $28,000 into the two Roth IRAs, over the course of this year. You'd have to do the first $14,000 before you file your 2024 return. Then you could just leave that 401k right there. If you reach the max on your contribution limit in the Roth IRA, then I would say, you know, because it's been performing well and it's easier to manage inside that 401k, I would just continue using salary deferral into that 401k. And so once you get to retirement, you're going to have three buckets here. You're going to have your new pension. You're going to have that 401k that you'll likely be contributing to along the way, which you'll get a tax deduction on. And then if each year you could fund, you know, up to the max on the two Roth IRAs, now you'll have an after-tax bucket that's growing as well. And you'd be able to pick and choose based on which one is most effective from a tax standpoint when you get to retirement from those three different buckets. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you very much, Rob.
All right. You're welcome, Ben. Thanks for your call today. Lord bless you, sir. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to head straight to Michigan. Marie has been waiting patiently, and we're going to tackle her question. Then we'll go to Indiana and talk to Steve. We do have some lines open. If you have a financial question today, get in the mix. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
Today, Christians are facing challenges in homeless ministry. In 2023, homelessness reached its highest level since reporting began in 2007, even affecting families with children, unaccompanied youth, and the elderly. Homeless ministries require long-term commitment and support, not quick fixes. Pastor Jim Yates advises taking manageable steps when building a homeless ministry. Read the full article, Compassion, It's a Messy Business, by me, Jordan Chambly, on thestand.net.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
My wife's aunt passed away, and we received a considerable inheritance from that. We talked to the people at AFA Foundation, and they were very caring. What excites us about the charitable gift annuity is we will always have income coming in. It will be steady. We won't outlive it.
See if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Let's head right back to the phones out to Michigan. Marie, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm wondering where to and how to invest. My husband and I are both retired. I have $200,000 left in my TSP and then approximately $270,000 that is in IRA CDs, a small portion of which is Roth IRAs.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, very good. And the Roth IRAs are in the CDs as well?
Yes.
Okay. And have you separated from service from your government job?
Yes.
Okay. So you're fully retired?
Yes.
Excellent. You know, this is a perfect opportunity, Marie, unless you are just really compelled to manage this yourself, which that's not a bad thing if you have the time and the expertise to do it. But you've accumulated quite a bit in the way of assets through a lot of hard work and savings over a long time. And I think this is an opportune time for you to consider finding an advisor that would be a good fit for you. And when I say good fit, I mean, you know, they, you know, would you find a good rapport with them? They have the experience you're looking for, you know, that you would fit into their core client mix, you know, meaning your portfolio isn't significantly more or less than their typical client. You know, you could, you're happy with the way that, you know, they would manage this, you know, according to your goals and objectives and so forth. And I would recommend somebody who shares your values as well. And so that's why we recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. And so what I would do is connect with a CKA there in Michigan. You could interview two or three, you know, at least find the one that's the best fit. And then what you would do is roll that TSP over to an IRA. And then that advisor could take over management, you know, of all of the assets, upwards of $500,000. And just because you'd hire an advisor doesn't mean you need to add a lot of risk either. I mean, the advisor could stay on the more conservative end of the investment spectrum if that's what you're looking for, and continue to use things like brokered CDs, but also add some maybe corporate and treasury bonds. And then maybe there's a case for a portion that might go into you know, a stock portfolio, maybe some value-oriented stocks that pay a dividend that, you know, are not as volatile as the, you know, large cap growth stocks, things like that. And maybe that portion of the portfolio, perhaps as much as 30% of the overall, you know, could provide some growth component, you know, over the next couple of decades. If, you know, you're in good health and the Lord tarries, we need this money to last a long time. But give me your thoughts on that. And how does that fit with what you had been thinking about?
Okay. So you said about possibly 30% in the stocks.
Yeah, and that's just a rule of thumb. What is your age, if you don't mind me asking?
65.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, typically what we would say, we used to use what's called the rule of 100, and this is not, you know, for everybody, this is just a starting point. And we would take the number 100, you would subtract your age, and then that would be the portion that you would put in stocks, and then the balance you would put in a bond or a fixed income portfolio. Because people are living longer, longevity is increasing for a variety of reasons, including advances in modern medicine, even though ultimately we don't know the day or the hour the Lord would call us home, we've raised that, just generally speaking, to 110. So if you take 110 minus your age, that would say you should have as much as perhaps 45% in stocks. However, You may say, you know what, I'm just not comfortable with that. I want to be on the more conservative end. And so I would say somewhere between, 30 and 45% would be generally what you would want to be thinking about in this season of life to keep in a stock allocation. And then the balance would be in those more sure and steady, fixed income type investments. And the idea is with the stock portion, even if we were to get into a significant recession, remember the economy's cyclical and it's been quite a while since we've had one. And even though I like a lot of the Trump economic policies and think we're going to, it's going to accelerate our growth here in the United States, we are overdue at some point in the next decade for a recession. But even then, you just wouldn't touch that portion of the portfolio and you'd wait for it to come back. And at least historically speaking, it always has. And we move to new highs, no matter what we look at, whether it's the crash of 29 or, the dot-com, bubble burst or the housing, crisis. We've always moved to new highs. And so I think that would be the idea, is that you'd have a mix that as you age would skew more and more toward fixed income, but you always keep a portion in stocks that provides a little bit of the growth component. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Now, this would be actively managed, and the advisor would move this on his own on my behalf, or is this something where I have to reach out to him?
No, I mean, you've got any number of options available to you, everything from you do it yourself and pick your own investments to you get more of a robo solution, which I wouldn't recommend here, or all the way to active management, which is what I'm suggesting as a starting place. But again, it has to be a good fit for you. But yeah, you would pay a fee, a percentage based on the assets under management. And that advisor, I would suggest you find a certified Kingdom advisor who's what's called a fiduciary, which means they have to put your interests above their own. And their responsibility is to manage the money in according to your goals and objectives and making sure to, build and maintain the portfolio accordingly.
Okay, that sounds good. Now, are all the CK advisors, are they all fiduciaries?
Most of them would be. That's not a requirement, and it just has to do with their business model. And so I think that would be one of the questions you would ask alongside, tell me about your discovery process. Let's talk about how you, based on my goals, would manage this money. How would we communicate and how often? And are you a fiduciary? I think you'd put that right in there. And that's why I think you're interviewing several advisors. The way to find a CKA in your area there in Michigan, Marie, is faithfi.com, faithfi.com. Right at the top of the page, it'll say find a professional. And you could do a zip code search and get a list to start with and take it from there. Hope that helps you. All the best in this exciting season of life here. And call anytime if we can help. We'll be right back.
Empty stomachs, waterborne illnesses, hopelessness. These are harsh realities for impoverished African children, but you can make a difference. Join with Cross International to share the love of Jesus with a child in critical need today. Each gift of $62 provides a child with life-saving resources. Give now at crossinternational.org/faith or 866-843-9500 and help kids go from barely surviving to thriving.
Have you added AFR on Roku? With it, you can quickly access AFR programming live.
I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View.
The majority of Americans actually want to live in reality.
As well as podcasts of all your favorite shows.
Hi, this is Sandy Rios, and you're listening to Sandy Rios 24/7.
AFR on Roku is another way to stay informed, equipped, and motivated as we join together to restore godly values in our nation. AFR on Roku. Add it today.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider and select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
Are you overwhelmed by financial fear and anxiety? You're not alone. At FaithFi, we hear it every day. People weighed down by worries related to wealth and money. But financial anxiety isn't about the size of your bank account. It's about the condition of your heart. That's why we've created Look at the Sparrows, a 21-day devotional that'll help you find peace through Jesus's teachings. Replace your financial anxiety with peace today. Visit faithfi.com/sparrows and start your journey today.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Hey, have you gotten on board with our preborn campaign yet? That's right. Here at American Family Radio, we're partnering with the incredible ministry of preborn that over the last 18 years has seen hundreds of thousands of babies saved by providing free ultrasounds to moms considering an abortion. They've also seen more than 80,000 decisions for Christ as moms, as a part of that, have surrendered their lives to Jesus. Incredible. Well, this week, last week, and now extending into this week, we have asked you to partner with us to fund 4,500 of those life-saving free ultrasounds. That's the word I'm looking for. And we were not quite there yet this week, but you can help us push over the edge and reach that goal of 4,500 ultrasounds. Every $28 given helps us to be able to provide a free ultrasound to a mom who's considering an abortion. So here's what you can do. Just head to AFR.net, AFR.net. Right there at the top of the page, you're going to see something that says preborn, and you'll see a button that says donate now. And if you would jump on board, we're so close, and you can help us get there to provide these 4,500 ultrasounds. Do that now, AFR.net. And thank you in advance. All right, we've got room for a few more questions today. We're taking those calls at 800-525-7000. Anything financial going on in your life today, let's talk about it. All right, we're going to head to Indiana. Steve, thanks for your patience, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you, Rob, for taking my call. Appreciate your show. Appreciate your godly wisdom. And
appreciate that.
I echo everything you said, that everything belongs to God. Well, I'm 57, and my wife and I are pretty much debt-free, and we have this desire to work together, but I'm just a little bit navigating some waters of how to do that and what to do. What's the process, and should I do it, or at my age, is it too much of a risk, or are you never too young to do that venture?
Yeah, I would say you're never, it's never too late. I think you just have to recognize that, especially in this season of life, you know, when we look at the numbers, we see how many new small businesses fail. I mean, it's upwards of 80%. And that shouldn't scare us, but it's one thing when it's kind of early in our work career or midway through and we've got plenty of time to recover. What you don't want is kind of in this season of life to go into something where, you know, you're taking a lot of the hard-earned money you put away and putting it at risk without the ability to recover. So you just don't want to put your financial house in jeopardy through, you know, the starting of a new business. With that said, I like what I'm hearing. You guys, you know, you're 57. I'm going to say you're young. You probably have plenty of energy. You're debt free. That's awesome. That means your lifestyle expenses are probably pretty lean. And, you know, this may be a great season for you guys to do something together and start something that you can build. I would just say, you know, you want to be thoughtful about that. And especially if it's going to require you to take on any debt or put your savings, at least that portion that's going to be necessary to provide income in the future, if this is unsuccessful, you know, at risk. And so I think that's the key idea there at the start. Beyond that, you know, what are the steps to considering starting a new business? Well, you know, you want to look at, you know, a thoughtful evaluation of your idea. You want to explore the market. And I've already mentioned your personal readiness. So in terms of validating your idea, I mean, you'd want to make sure you know what the problem is that this business solves and who your target audience is. And then, you know, is there a demand for it? So that's the market research. Who's the competitors? Is it a growing market? What are the startup costs going to be? And how much, again, can you afford to risk? And do you have a financial safety net? And then I think beyond that, it's really just, you know, creating that business plan, maybe testing the idea by starting small, if that's possible. And then, you know, get some advice and counsel along the way. But those are just general ideas. I mean, we can talk specifically about what you're thinking, but hopefully that, you know, gets you started.
Yeah, no, I'm currently in the trades and construction and working on homes, but at the same time, you know, my wife and I, we really enjoy doing that together, remodeling our own home, and have done it several times, but looking to branch into that arena. So the startup costs, I don't think would be too extensive, but at the same time, it's generating the leads and having the support system behind it. Do you recommend, as far as investment wise, to just separate everything, like do a LLC or just sole proprietor, or what's your recommendation in that aspect?
Yeah, I think an LLC would be the way to go, just to limit your liability and to have everything separate in that legal structure from your personal, you know, financial situation. And I'd get some counsel on that as you not only get that business, that corporation set up, but put the legal structure in place. So would you be buying kind of fixer uppers, doing the work yourself and then trying to flip them? Is that the business?
No, we would just be focusing on kitchen and bathroom remodels and in that area. Okay. There just seems to be a lot of need for people updating that. But you mentioned it with the last caller, with the economy, that we're due for a recession. And, you know, we pray and we seek the Lord's guidance. But at the same time, there's always that fear and hesitation that, you know, you jump into something and there goes the economy. So
yeah. Well, I mean, I think the good news is I have a lot more confidence in where the economy's headed, you know, now, just because of what I know about President Trump's policies. That's not necessarily a political statement. I'm just talking about on the merits of the you know, the economic policies. And he's come out of the gate really strong, just in terms of deregulation and cutting taxes and just creating a really pro-growth environment in the U.S., which is going to bode us well so long as we can keep our debt under control. And I know a lot of what he's trying to do is going to address that as well. So I think, you know, this sounds like a great business in the sense that you've got the skill set and the know-how. You've been doing it a long time. You guys are wanting to go into business together and do something together. I love that idea. And it's not like you're taking on a lot of debt trying to buy homes. You know, you'd be coming in and, you know, doing the remodels there with the kitchen and bathroom specifically. And, you know, you'd obviously bid it out and then get an initial down payment that would allow you to buy all the materials. So it doesn't sound like, you know, you'd have a whole lot of out-of-pocket costs, and you could kind of let this thing grow over time. And if you're a craftsman, boy, there's no shortage of demand for people that, you know, that want to, you know, redo bathrooms and kitchens. And I know there's a lot of profit to be made there as well. So I like the idea overall. I think the key is just go slow and be careful not to, you know, put too much at risk. And I would get some good counsel both from a tax and a legal standpoint.
Okay. Well, it's great to hear from a brother in Christ talk about this. And I appreciate the show and the avid listener and
awesome.
Faith Five partner. So
that's amazing.
All right. Well, and I'll see what we could do to help with this preborn. That's a great venture as well. So,
well, Steve, thank you, man. That's incredible. We're grateful for your partnership with us here at FaithFi and AFR, and all the best to you and your wife in this new venture. Hey, call us back and let us know how it's going along the way. We'd love to check in with you as you get this up and launched, and you guys have fun working together. That sounds fabulous. God bless you, bud. Well, we're going to be taking our final break and then back for our final segment here in a moment. When we come back, Lindsay's in Tennessee, and she wants to know about a 401k that she opened. opened a decade ago, and how to handle that alongside the new 401k that she has. And I'll tackle a topic that a lot of people ask about. It has to do with whether or not we should treat our kids the same or uniquely when it comes to inheritance. That's a tough question. We'll tackle it in our final segment. Stay with us on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good. To explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values, more information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Well, you know, it comes up all the time. And by the way, we will be headed back to the phones here in just a second. But the question that we get is, you know, should I leave, or is it okay to leave, different amounts to my kids? And, you know, estate planning can be challenging. I mean, here's the reality. It's natural to want to treat our kids equally. However, I think the answer to this question lies in a principle, and you'll find it in Ron Blue's book, Splitting Heirs. He calls it the uniqueness principle, and it's this. If you love your children equally, but you treat them uniquely. And here's the idea. Each child, of course, is different financially, emotionally, and spiritually. And, you know, good stewardship means recognizing these differences and allocating resources accordingly. Now, we can often think that treating our kids uniquely shows favoritism, but it really doesn't have to be that way. The Bible warns against favoritism, of course. We see that in the story of Jacob and Joseph in Genesis 37. So, you know, but I think equal love often requires unique treatment, because as stewards of God's resources, we're called to manage them wisely and ensure that our decisions reflect both love and responsibility. And I think a critical aspect of estate planning is considering each child's ability to manage wealth responsibly. So giving a significant inheritance to a child who struggles with financial discipline can do more harm than good. And so perhaps the big idea is that stewardship requires us to make decisions not solely based on fairness, but also on what is ultimately in their best interest. Remember, you are the steward, and this is the last stewardship decision you will make, choosing the next steward. Now, many parents worry that unequal distributions will cause resentment. I think the key to avoiding that is communication. Honest, open conversations while you're living can help your children understand your reasoning and help to prevent future conflicts. But I think ultimately wealth transfer needs to reflect God's wisdom, not just human emotions, because we're accountable for how we allocate His resources. And so that's why I think we look at financial need, we look at spiritual maturity, we also look at life circumstances and prayerfully consider all of them as we're making these decisions. And remember, it's not a one-and-done decision. You see, your wealth transfer decisions around inheritance and everything else can change over time until the Lord calls you home. And so I think, you know, so often folks will call the program and they're stuck because it's just weighing on them, that decision. Well, what if you go ahead and make the decision now based on everything you know today and the prayer that you put into it, knowing that we may change this a year from now or 6 months from now or 5 years or 10 years from now. And that perhaps gets you off the fence to say, all right, we're going to put this in place knowing that this isn't a forever decision. And as we watch our kids mature, we watch how they, you know, progress in their spiritual journey, we may make changes over time. By the way, if you want to explore this topic further and really all of the kind of biblical underpinnings of wealth transfer, that book, Splitting Heirs, from Ron Blue, is the best, in my opinion. It's Splitting Heirs, Giving Your Money and Your Things to Your Children Without Ruining Their Lives. You'll find it wherever you buy books. I hope that's helpful to you. All right, let's head back to the phones. Tennessee is where Lindsay is located. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Good morning.
Hi, thank you
for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question. So about 10 years ago, I was with the company and I had a 401k open with them for, I'll say, about 10, 13 years. The business ended up having a name change, and we had the option to either transfer our 401k to their new 401k company or keep it there. So I made the decision to keep my funds in the original account that it was in.
All right.
So since then, I've been contributing to the new account. Now I'm unable to find the old account. I tried to search for it. I reached out to different companies that thought that the account was there. I can't find it. Can you provide any recommendations or maybe a website or some way I can try to find this old 401k account that I have?
Yeah. So it's the same employer, just a new plan administrator that you have now?
Actually, it's a name change, a whole new company.
Whole new company. Okay.
Yeah. So it was bought out by a company.
Got it. And do you have the name of the custodian from an old statement or something that you received from that old 401k?
I don't. Okay. I can't find anything.
Okay. So no paperwork, no emails. I mean, what you need to figure out is, and maybe you need to call the current HR department and just say, listen, you know, I need to know who the term you're looking for is the plan administrator. I need to know who the plan administrator was from the 401k before the merger or buyout occurred. And they should know that because there was a massive process for the new plan administrator to take over or to assume that responsibility for that old plan administrator. And, you know, that's what you're looking for. Is it Fidelity or, you know, is it TIAA Craft or is it Schwab or, you know, any of the big firms that they typically use? And then you can call that company, give them your social security number, and they should be able to chase that down. I mean, there are some national databases, you know, like unclaimedretirementbenefits.com and things like that. But I think you're going to have more success in starting with your current HR department and saying, you know, I need to chase down that plan administrator from the previous company. And if they don't want to be bothered with it, don't take no for an answer. Keep moving it up to somebody who can, you know, has the know-how to get that information for you.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay. I'll take that route. Thank you so much.
All right, Lindsay. Absolutely. All the best to you. Thanks for calling today. 800-525-7000. I may have room to sneak in one more question today. If you've got a financial question, you can call right now. Again, 800-525-7000. You know, going back to the idea of wealth transfer for a second, we talked about this uniqueness principle. If we love our kids equally, we will treat them uniquely. But I think, you know, in terms of how we approach the larger inheritance conversation, you know, it really is a matter of recognizing that the money is often going to propel the lives of our kids further and faster in whatever direction they're already running. And so depending on where they're at in terms of their own financial and spiritual maturity. So for instance, and I hope this isn't the case, but obviously it is a reality with many kids. They're running, you know, in a season where they're running away from the Lord, maybe making lifestyle choices that you don't agree with. And so, you know, dropping $100,000 or $1,000,000 in their lap could accelerate that move away from the Lord. You need to be aware of that. And I think and pray through that and just consider the implications of it. Now, let's take the opposite, which is also true. Let's say they're running toward Jesus and making really wise decisions and demonstrating financial maturity. Well, you can have confidence that money dropped in the lap of those kids is probably in part going to be given away and used for very productive purposes. Now, you may decide to put the relationship, you know, over a lot of that. But I do think we need to at least consider this factor of what trajectory are our kids running and is the money going to accelerate that? And perhaps one of these questions we need to ask is, if I go ahead with my wealth transfer plans the way I'm planning, what is the worst thing that can happen? And just talk it through. It doesn't mean you have to make a change. It just means that you know, you need to at least consider it. Because here's the other reality, and we see this very clearly in the book of Ecclesiastes. And by the way, our next FaithFi study is on the book of Ecclesiastes. I can't wait for you to get it. It'll be out later this quarter. But it really focuses on this idea of wisdom over wealth. In fact, the title of this new study is going to be Wisdom Over Wealth, 12 Lessons on Money from the Book of Ecclesiastes. And, you know, this idea of wisdom over wealth is a big one that we see in Ecclesiastes. It comes from Ecclesiastes 7, 11, and 12. Listen to this. Wisdom, like an inheritance, is a good thing and benefits those who see the sun, everyone. Wisdom is a shelter, as money is a shelter, but the advantage of knowledge is this. Wisdom preserves those who have it. And so here's kind of the takeaway from that. When wealth grows faster than wisdom, there's risk. And this happens very acutely when we have an inheritance that's passed down in some cases. So we've got, think about kind of an XY axis. I'm getting a little technical here. And we've got wisdom growing from birth throughout a child's life. And then we've got another kind of line, which is the wealth that they have that's probably growing, hopefully slower than wisdom. But then we have this big turn up and spike in the amount of wealth that's in the equation. And, you know, it can all of a sudden surpass the wisdom that's there. And that's just a risk. That's a danger zone. You just need to be aware of that. The ideal situation would be to obtain the preservation of wisdom and allow wisdom to grow faster than wealth. And that's what we're looking for here. And so we want to be intentional to pass a spiritual inheritance as primary. That's A number one. And then we want to pass a character capital. You know, perhaps it's that we want to work hard and live simply and give generously. I mean, maybe it's that simple in terms of the character and the values that we're passing. And then we want to pass the financial capital. But we always want to keep this idea that wisdom preserves those who have it. That's the advantage of wisdom over wealth. Doesn't mean money's bad. It's a good gift from God. What we do need to recognize, though, is that when we worship the creation over the creator, we got a real problem. So our goal each day on this program is to help you put all that in its proper order. God is our ultimate treasure. Money is a tool. Hey, by the way, you heard one of our last callers there mention being a FaithFi partner. Boy, it's a huge blessing that so many of you are FaithFi partners. If you're not yet a FaithFi partner, at $35 a month, you can support our work so we can bring you this broadcast and all the resources, but also receive our new quarterly publication, Faithful Steward. You're going to love it. Comes out next week. And pre-release copies of all of our studies and devotionals, including our new study on Ecclesiastes, due out in the next couple of months. Become a FaithFi partner at faithfi.com. Just click give. Big thanks to my team today, Sandy, Jim, Devin, everybody here at FaithFi. Couldn't do it without them. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.